Gareth in Belfast. Morning, Gareth.
Hello there.
Go ahead, Gareth.
Well, I was just bringing up to say that we do have a bit of an opportunity here, which maybe hasn't been looked at as closely as it should be. Just a chance to take stock, really, and to actually say, well done to everyone in the last 10 or 20 years. We've come a long way. We've done really, really well for ourselves. We're in a much better position than
Let's get to the point, Gareth. Let's get to the point, mate.
Well, the whole point is that there's been deadlock with the two biggest parties. You know, they have achieved a lot, but we've negotiated ourselves into a cul-de-sac, basically. Meanwhile, there are a lot of people who voted for the next four biggest parties, a lot more people than people would realise. 290,000 votes, which is far more than either of the two biggest parties. So why don't we switch over, as Jim Allister would have suggested, switch off the mandatory coalition and go for a simple majority in our politics.
Okay, Gareth, thank you. Robert and Carrickfergus. Morning, Robert.
Is Dr. Janet still there?
Yes.
Can I ask her a question?
You can.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I would like to ask you, what language did you carry out your interview this morning?
I carried out the interview in the language in which I was spoken by the BBC.
You carried it out in English, right?
Yeah.
Why was that? Because 99.9% of the listeners this morning wouldn't have been able to understand Irish.
Well, I think if you look at the statistics from the last census, 10.46% of the population of the North has knowledge of Irish.
I wouldn't believe that for a minute, but I'll ask you another question.
What
do the government in Ireland carry out their language in when they're having their sessions? It's in English. In English. And they've also said that members of Sinn Féin can't even use the language right. So there's a challenge for you. Why don't you have an interview with a Sinn Féin member? All in Irish. And I bet you they can't do it.
Let's let her respond.
Well, that's not a question for me. I'm not organising the programme. I was rung up and I was asked to come on the programme. I understand that it's an English language programme. I'm very often rung up by one of the Irish language radio stations, the TV stations, and then I conduct the interview through the medium
okay.
of Irish. I'd be happy to talk to you in Irish if you prefer me to do that.
Fair enough. Sinn Féin are telling us this morning that Martin O'Mueller, who was on the Nolan Show, I don't know when they're saying, over recent times, ruled out affirmative action. But they didn't highlight it, of course. Sinn Féin are saying to us that these proposals from Carolan Coolan are the basis of their negotiations. They are then saying at the same time, look, Martin O'Meara ruled out affirmative action. The question remains, why is it ruled out? So why is that bit of the... Has anything else of the proposals been ruled out? What else have they taken out of those proposals? Or is that the only thing? And if affirmative action has been taken out, why has it been taken out? Mrs. McGowan and Banbridge. Good morning, Mrs. McGowan.
Hello, yes, Stephen. I just wanted to put two wee points to you. Just in relation to the Anthobla of Sinn Féin, the 31 pages on it and 30 of them are all in English. So they're trying to promote the Irish Language Act and their own newspapers, not even in Irish. And the other thing is, I want to find out that if they did get back into government, are they going to turn around and budget that every single school in Northern Ireland will have an Irish language teacher so that the children, from they start their early education, that they will be educated in Irish so that every job that they go for, everyone has equality that Sinn Féin are so much pushing.
So what's your question?
Just, I would like to know why Sinn Féin are pushing the Irish language so much when they're not even doing their own newspapers in Irish. And also, if they get back into government, have they budgeted in their manifesto or whatever that every single school, as regards education, will have the facility of an Irish language teacher so that the children grow up in their equal society as they want, as they so-called want it?
Alan Carrickfergus next morning, Alan.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I have to say, well done on eventually getting an answer out of Janet on the street signs thing. Obviously, she's not going to be the poor sod who has to pick the street signs up in the Shankill Road or thousands of other areas in Northern Ireland. That'll be contentious. But what we have here, Stephen, this is a watershed moment for unionists in Northern Ireland. And I think Arlene has to just walk away right now. Just say, that's what you want, we can't do it.
Well, that's raising Arlene Foster is another point in terms of, you know, what is going to be the DUP response to this?
Well, you see, Stephen, you're trying to find out what Sinn Féin want, and it doesn't matter what they tell you what they want today, because whatever they get, they'll come back for more. There'll be more in a year's time. And you know why the crocodile statement annoyed them so much? Because Arlene nailed it. She absolutely nailed it on the head. Hit the nail on the head when she described what they are. They'll be back for more next year and the year after. So it doesn't matter what they want now. Sooner or later, there'll be more.
Jamal, sir, maybe unionists have nothing to fear here. This is about a language. English is not under threat. This is about people who see Irish as their language. Look at what's happened in Scotland. Look at what's happened in Wales. This is just allowing people to use their preferred language in a country they live in.
This isn't just about a language. This is about ramming down everyone's throat the Sinn Féin vision of Gaelic Ireland, where you must, in order to advance, speak Irish, where you must give preferment to the Irish speaker as part of a strategy. You know, it's not so many years ago when they were supporting a more overt Brits-out strategy. It's part of a strategy to drive into a feeling of alienation those who don't speak Irish, so as they feel alienated in their own land. It's a weapon. That's why they said every word spoken is a bullet fired in the freedom struggle. They have twinned it with their aggressive anti-British strategy, which is focused as much on the British citizen as it was on the British soldier.
Not everyone who wants an Irish Language Act is a Sinn Féin supporter.
That may well be, and there are some people who can very eloquently speak Irish and have a love for the Irish language and are nothing to do with Sinn Féin. I have no difficulty recognising that. There's at least one of those persons in the SDLP in the Assembly who can very eloquently speak Irish, but he doesn't use it as a weapon to politicise his situation and to advance his agenda. And the irony, of course, with Sinn Féin is that they're so besotted with Irish, but most of them can't even get past a few mumbled, stumbling words in Irish, demonstrating that it is but a ploy and a weapon. It's not a love for the Irish language that imbues Sinn Féin with this idea of promoting an Irish Language Act. It's a hatred of all things British that imbues them and drives them forward. And that, sadly, is the situation. And, you know, there's so much more in this Sinn Féin document. Take the place names. They want to take that and put it within the authority of this Irish language commandant, the commissioner, who will pursue the pursuit. And he will decide where he will have responsibility for place names. And he will be told, and the law will say, that the provision for bilingual road signs is to have the Irish content on a par with English. So every road sign, everywhere, at the behest of this Irish language zealot, shall have English and Irish on a par.
Well, you're loading this with so much language. An Irish language commissioner, just as there could be commissioners for other languages, for other rights in Northern Ireland. It's not a zealot. It's someone who will ensure equality in Northern Ireland.
No. When you look at the powers of the Irish language commissioner, you know, he's to have virtually high court powers to compel you to deal with him. He is going to bring in Irish language strategies for every public body. And if you fail to cooperate, then you're hauled before the courts in a criminal offence.
Okay, Colm Doerr's contact this morning. Colm.
Morning, Stephen. I think you might be putting the cart before the horse, because why would the legislative detail come before acceptance of the principle that people here are entitled to rights that are taken for granted in Britain? People in Britain don't have to choose between Indigenous language legislation and healthcare and schools. So why should people here make that choice? And do you not need to focus on that principle? Is that not the big question for unionism? Why are British citizens here not entitled to British rights? Is that not a contradiction of unionism?
What do you mean? I don't really know what you mean. In terms of these individual things that we're talking about, so bilingual street signs on every sign in Northern Ireland.
Well, Stephen, you wouldn't talk about the politics of America without, in terms of statues and what have you, and the politics of culture in America without reference to the context that produced it, i.e. supremacism and domination. So why is the politics of parity of esteem here being discussed without that context and without the legacy of colonialism and the marginalisation and minoritisation of the Irish language? Because it's not accurate to call the Irish language a minority language. It's more accurate to call it a minoritised language. So when people like Jim mock nationalists for not having proficiency in the Irish language, that's very like saying to African Americans, why don't you use the ancestral names of your African forebears? That is completely missing the point.
Jim?
The reason we're in this situation is because this society does it not require a breakthrough on parity of esteem.
Jim?
I've never heard such nonsense. There is no discrimination against the Irish speaker because he also speaks English. He gets all the same public services that his taxpayers' pound buys as my taxpayers' pound buys. There is no such thing, but he wants more. He wants insatiably more. He wants to ram down my throat every time I go out my drive.
No, he doesn't. He just wants the ability to speak, or he or she wants the ability to speak the language they prefer, whether you do or not.
No. He wants to create a circumstance where he has an advantage when it comes to the public service in terms of jobs, because I don't speak Irish. He wants to create circumstances where on every road sign I see on a par with English the unnecessary flaunting of the Irish language.
Can you imagine?
Condor, very quickly, because we've got to move on here.
Final point. Can you imagine, Jim, seeing Irish on road signs in Ireland? How incredible. This is my absolute final point. The most important thing that Arlene Foster said this year was not the crocodile comment. It was the subsequent comment when she said perhaps we should have a Polish language act, because that sends the message that this is not the home place for Irish, and that's what this is about.
Okay.
At a practical level, there's more need to facilitate those who speak Polish or other Eastern European languages, because English is not their first language or they're not very proficient in it. There is certainly more need for that. But there's no one stopping anyone speaking or learning Irish. You know, you can go to school, you can learn Irish, you can learn French, but we don't need a French language act to enable us to learn French. And of course, in learning French and learning German and learning Spanish, we're learning languages which are commercially useful. There's no commerce across the world conducted in Irish.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Jim Allister, John Mueller, Comptor, thank you very much. We're going to come back. This is hugely reactive this morning. We'll come back to this after 10 today. 030 30 80 55 55. We do have a question in from our office to Sinn Féin as to why they have now removed affirmative action within the civil service from their proposals. So why have Sinn Féin removed it? We'll try to get you an answer before 10:30 this morning.